You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. And welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing well today. Today, we're going to talk about some reasons why you might not want to get a C-section. The reason I wanted to talk about this is because there has been a pretty steep rise in the last 30 years for the rate of cesarean sections. And it's now to about 1 in 3 babies are born C-section. And look, there are some legitimate reasons why a child needs to be born C-section. And by the way, Julius Caesar, who we get the term C-section from, was not born through cesarean, by the way, just anecdotal, boring trivia stuff. But there are some legitimate reasons. You know, there could be an abruption of the placenta. There could be placenta previa. The breach, the baby's breach. The cord could be prolapsed. The baby could be in distress. I mean, there's numerous legitimate reasons why there should be a C-section. But there's a lot of reasons why we shouldn't be getting C-sections. I want to cover some of the effects that it has on the child. Look, by no means am I wanting to shame any mother who has delivered by C-section. This is not about shaming. This is just about bringing awareness to things that you might not know about C-sections. Because many times women, similar to when somebody is diagnosed with cancer, the doctors push. You know, you have to have your uterus taken out, your breast cut off, or your prostate yanked out. And imagine it's in some ways worse with birth because you have to make decisions immediately. And so when the doctor's telling you, oh, it might be good for a C-section, or you've been in labor 20 hours and you're not dilated, let's do a C-section. By that time, lots of times, if it's not something that's very acute where the baby needs to be born immediately, the woman is so tired and drained and she has a lot of faith in the doctor that she's like, fine, let's do a C-section. And either most cases, they don't know what are the long-term effects, possible effects of their baby being born C-section. I do recommend a documentary called The Business of Being Born. It's on Netflix. I have not watched it, but I have been told by some doulas that I know and some midwives that are involved in midwifery that it's a great documentary. And I think it talks about how one of the reasons there's been a proliferation of C-sections is because there might be a monetary incentive involved. Not to say that doctors are nefarious people, OBGYNs or whatnot, but there is more money involved in C-sections, okay? So let's just talk about some reasons why C-sections might not be good for your child or for you. And again, this is by no means to shame any mothers because you guys are incredible. All right, reason number one, and of course these are typically not in any particular order, your offspring might be more prone to a C-section too. So according to a small group of researchers from Austria and the USA, large numbers of women having C-sections over a long period of time may influence the evolution of our offspring. Along with the rise in delivery by C-section, scientists have noticed a change in human offspring, babies with larger heads. The study speculates that this adaptation would not have been likely through natural birthing methods. The way it works is that the woman's birth canal is designed to host a baby in its smaller head, and that it's deliverable through the vagina as nature intended. Prior to C-sections, babies with heads too large that were unable to be delivered by natural means would not survive in any circumstance. Whether the baby died in utero or during labor delivery, the genetics that influence a larger than normal head would stop there. However, this isn't the case anymore because of C-section, these babies are being born with larger heads. So in other words, higher numbers of C-sections mean higher numbers of babies that are being born that survive birth when they would not have otherwise. Too many babies that artificially pass the birth test give rise to traits in our offspring that would have been eliminated by nature. It's like social Darwinism, right? Babies with larger than appropriate head sizes will likely pass on the message to this trait that this trait's okay, and future generations will continue to have babies with heads that are too large to pass through the birth canal. What could this mean for the future is one of a couple of things. One, future generations of humans might find it impossible to have a baby by vaginal delivery and will only be able to successfully deliver via C-section. Or two, higher number of late-term miscarriages, stillbirths, and fetal death during labor and delivery due to babies that have head too large to fit through the birth canal. We're basing it up here. Number two, the baby is higher risk of obesity. Now, this is probably one of the more famous side effects of delivering by C-section. There have been many studies that link babies delivered by C-section with increased risk for obesity at any time in their life. Such babies are 15% more likely than babies born vaginally to struggle with being overweight into adulthood. Babies born via C-section compared to their siblings who were born vaginally are 64% more likely than their natural-born brothers and sisters to be overweight. The information provided is a result of research that studied the effects of C-sections on newborns for 16 years. Although being born to an obese mother through C-section is a factor for determining what causes obesity in offspring, it is not the sole defining factor. New studies are showing that babies who are not delivered vaginally lack exposure to certain microbiome in the birth canal, which we'll talk about in a second, that could cause trouble with metabolism and intestinal health, potentially making C-section babies more prone to having weight issues. So a couple of things here. If you are overweight when you're pregnant and when you birth, you do have a higher rate of having an overweight baby. That is another undisputed study that has been verified numerous times. So it's really important before you get pregnant to get your weight down. And then when you are pregnant, not to gain 70 pounds, you know, but to maybe do 30, 40 at the most. So that is very important. And then we talk about the microbiome, and we're going to talk about this in a second, the importance of the microbiome. But we know that having a dysbiosis or an unlevel or preponderance of pathogenic bacteria over healthy bacteria in our gut leads us to be overweight as well. So it's not surprising that you would see this in newborns too. All right, the third reason why you might not want to deliver by C-section, if you can help it, is that babies have a higher risk for asthma. This is another pretty well-known thing. Studies show that babies born through C-section are more likely to have asthma than vaginally born babies. It does not matter if the surgery was planned or spontaneous, and the babies affected are more likely to have severe asthma that may require hospitalization, the use of an inhaler by the age of 5, and sometimes even resulting in death. The study done by the American Medical Association was to understand if there were any long-term health complication influenced by method of birth delivery. The researchers say that this information is only observational at this point, and it cannot be confirmed with certainty at this point that C-sections are the major cause of the recent increase in risk of asthma in infants. It is understood that surgical intervention during labor and delivery are often necessary and save lives, but the concerns come over high numbers of C-sections and that may be elective or unnecessary. So there's a couple of theories about why asthma skyrocketed. One is that the toxicants that are found in vaccines, that's a pretty common idea. Another one are the toxicants found in our food and our air, such as all the phthalates and everything that's coming out of the scented candles. So those are two common things. We did talk about in the podcast on chlorine too, that if you swim a lot when you're a certain age, you do increase your chances of getting asthma as well. And this part does mention elective C-sections. Though it's not that common, there are some women who choose to have elective C-sections. This is typically done for one of two reasons. One, they want to schedule the day of their birth because of their baby's birth because they want it to fall on a certain day or an anniversary, or perhaps they're going on a long trip, or I know this sounds kind of shallow, but perhaps they want to birth early so they can bounce back. and be in shape by a certain date. And the other reason is they want to maintain their, quote, vaginal integrity, close quote. And so there are some women who don't want to have their vagina stretched out by birth for whatever reasons. And that's another reason. So typically these are not good reasons, as you'll see after we go through this, the litany of why C-sections might not be the best thing for your baby. All right, reason number four, the baby doesn't receive mom's microbiome. This is important. New information came out in 2016 that stunned the world of pregnancy and delivery. There is such a world as pregnancy and delivery. C-sections are typically believed to be safer than vaginal delivery in many circumstances, but the truth is that we may be a bit misguided or even misinformed on many angles of the effects of C-section. Babies who are born via C-section are not exposed to the so-called germs of their mother, referred to as the microbiome. Not being exposed to these types of bacteria at birth could prove to have long-term consequences that could have huge health implications related to immune function. Luckily, correlating research has already begun, testing to see if C-section babies can receive the same benefits of vaginal-born babies simply by being exposed to microbiomes from the mother's vagina post-delivery. What are they going to, like, smear the placenta on the baby's face? That's peculiar. A small sample group of participants is being monitored after a swab taken from their mother was smeared all over the baby, okay, with special attention to their face and mouth. A lot more research is required before we can understand if this type of intervention would be beneficial. Okay, so we know the importance of the microbiome. We've talked about it a lot in this podcast. So without being too graphic, when a baby is going through the vag, it is struggling to get through the vagina. And while it's doing that, after the amniotic sac is ruptured, let's go back. The baby kind of lives in a sterile bubble until the water breaks, which is not really water. But at that point, the baby starts working its way through the cervix and through the vaginal canal. Now, we know the vagina, along with the mouth and the anus and all the orifices, our skin and then the intestines, and the digestive system in general, have a lot of microbiome. So what happens, or bacteria and fungus. So what happens is that a lot of that beneficial bacteria and fungus that hangs out in the woman's vag will crawl up into the baby's mouth and reside and go crawl into the esophagus' stomach. Just so my students hate when I make this sound every time I talk about bacteria growing or infections anywhere. And so they'll go and reside in the intestines and set up their own colony, their own microbiome. So what they believe is that by ripping the baby out of the amniotic sac, it never gives the baby the opportunity to have their mother's microbiome naturally inhabit them. And so that's why they're doing these tests, to see if they can literally get a swab of the vagina or the placenta of the mother and smear it on the baby's face and hope that the bacteria there will then crawl into the mouth. But again, there is a reason why babies are born through the vagina, and that there needs to be a certain amount of struggle for the baby to be healthy. So this does talk about the higher rate of infections, which is probably the other more common reason that you might hear about why C-section babies have more problems, because by the microbiome being set up in the baby's gut, we've talked about how a strong microbiome of probiotic bacteria increases your chances of being able to fight off pathogens, and you have a stronger immune system. So if you don't have this benefit of the bacteria crawling into the baby's mouth, it does make sense that the kid could have a higher rate of infections later on. All right, the fifth reason, babies could be at a higher risk for childhood leukemia. This isn't good. According to new information in cancer research, there could be a new correlation between C-section delivery and lymphoblastic leukemia. The link is only related to pre-labor cesarean delivery. The link does not exist with emergency C-sections or with acute myeloid leukemia. The analysis was collected from more than 13 separate studies, which is not a lot, to be fair. It has been noted that babies born via C-section are at a 23% increased risk for this lymphoblastic leukemia. Some possible explanations are related to the high levels of the stress hormone cortisol present during an artificial delivery, which we'll talk about in a second, in combination with the lack of exposure to the colonizing microbiomes that we just talked about right now. The current belief is that controlling cortisol exposure at birth may eliminate the pre-leukemic cells and prevent them from maturing. Further research is still needed to give us more reliable and detailed information. Scientists are hopeful that the information could be useful in cancer prevention. All right, so the connections between leukemia and C-section is not that strong there, but just know that there's a possible link. All right, reason number six. The baby is at higher risk for type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes, also known as juvenile diabetes, often develop early in life. That's why they call it juvenile. There are many risk factors for this disease, but the true reason and cause are mostly misunderstood. Recent studies have revealed that babies born through C-section are much more likely to develop type 1 diabetes. Now, this isn't type 2, which is the lifestyle diabetes that we talk about through poor nutrition and a sedentary lifestyle. The information could lend a clue to how the disease develops in the first place. When all of the risk factors were already considered, C-section babies were 20% more likely than vaginally born babies to have type 1 diabetes, 20%. The information is compiled from 20 separate worldwide studies. Doctors in the study speculate that this may be happening due to an impaired immune response in C-section babies who are first exposed to bacteria in a hospital environment rather than from the vaginal fluid of their mother. Again, going back to the importance of crawling through the vag. They explain that the immune system is responsible for destroying the pancreatic beta cells that are often found in type 1 diabetics. The disruption from natural birth could be triggering a harmful response. So from what I remember from type 1 diabetes is that the islets of Langerhans, those cells, the beta cells that make insulin, don't make insulin in type 1. So type 1 diabetics typically have to have insulin shots. So again, it's 20% more likely. And this is compiled from 20 separate studies. So this is something that is very noteworthy. All right, reason number 7, why you might not want to have your baby C-section. Babies are at increased risk for serious illness and disorders. Babies that enter the world via C-section are at much greater risk for autoimmune disorders and chronic illness. This information was compiled through scientific and medical studies based on children born through C-sections between the years of 1973 and 2012. Children born through C-section are more frequently hospitalized than vag-born babies. Some of the reasons for this may be due to asthma, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel disorder, immune system defects, leukemia, and tissue disorders. Results of the research have determined that babies born in C-section are 40% more likely to have an immune defect and 10% more likely to have rheumatoid juvenile arthritis. The reasons are not yet clear, but it is understood that surgical intervention affects both the immune system and the bowel function. Scientists say that C-sections may be one of the factors considering an environmental influences that activate the genes that are causing the people to be sick. So autoimmune problems are growing in America. This is when the body attacks itself. You commonly see it, let's say, in Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid problem. You see it in celiac disease, which is a problem that affects the immune system. You see it in rheumatoid arthritis, which can typically affect the joints. You see it in multiple sclerosis. I mean, there's a host of problems where the body attacks itself. So this again is alarming that C-sections could possibly increase the chances of more autoimmune problems. All right, the 8th reason is that C-sections are linked with delayed brain function in babies. Most women have no idea that delivering by C-section could have an impact on the brain function of their babies. Doctors studying the topic have found that such babies show slowed spatial attention. Spatial attention is related to how well a baby can focus on the specific area of interest. Eye movements of the infants were monitored to understand where they put their attention and for how long. The study indicated that when compared to babies born through the vag, babies from the C-section showed less ability to concentrate. Researchers believe that this is happening because brain development can be impacted by delivery method. The findings show there is no cognitive difference between the babies, but rather the difference is in the ability to concentrate and voluntarily focus their attention. At this time, it's not understood why an alternative delivery which caused such differences in brain functions. It is also unclear whether the effects are long-term, lifelong, or just short-term. All right, the 9th reason. Babies born via C-section are much less likely to be breastfed. According to the National Library of Medicine, both emergency and planned C-sections may adversely affect breastfeeding initiation, milk supply, and infant breastfeeding receptivity when compared to vag babies. As many as 7% of mothers who delivered by C-section showed no intention of breastfeeding, as compared to 1% of mothers who chose vag. Mothers of unplanned C-sections were far more likely to continue with breastfeeding initiation. Women who did intend to breastfeed were 41% more likely to have breastfeeding difficulties after a C-section. Of those who planned their C-section, they were much more likely to quit breastfeeding before 12 weeks postpartum than women who delivered vag. One major contributing factor is that babies born via C-section are much less likely to nurse immediately following birth or within the first hour or 24 hours after delivery. In addition, babies of C-section are less likely to be offered skin-to-skin contact in efforts to allow the mother to heal from her incision. It is commonly reported that both breastfeeding and skin-to-skin contact are uncomfortable for the mother due to the effects from the surgery. Researchers believe that if women were offered more breastfeeding support in correlation with post-C-section care, the result would be different. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. So they say 7% of mothers delivered by C-section show no intention of breastfeeding. That could be for a lot of reasons. I mean, that could be going back to vaginal integrity. You know, maybe these women don't want to nurse because they're concerned that maybe their breasts will lose their alacrity, and so they don't want to do that. So that could be a possible reason. But this does make sense when you think about it, because not about the breasts and the alacrity. It's more about just the difficulty about nursing after C-section, because the body has a plan, right? It has a plan for the baby to go through the vagina. But when it doesn't go through the vagina, and when it's essentially yanked out unplanned, it does kind of make sense where the breasts are like, whoa, hold on. We weren't ready for this. It wasn't supposed to go like this way. And so you can maybe see why lactation or breast milk development might come on later or might not come in at all. And then we'll talk about the skin-to-skin in a second. All right, reason number 10. C-section babies may be born with less emotional attachment to the mother. It is very typical that mother and baby are separated quickly after C delivery, and in some cases, they're not even to officially meet each other for up to several hours after being born. Kangaroo care is often performed by another family member while the mother is being stitched up after the surgery. Immediate breastfeeding is often not possible and not comfortable and is skipped in lieu of recovery time. It is also understood that often these babies are given formula when the mother is unavailable for the initial feeding. Unfortunately, these disruptions could have lasting implications on the ability of mother and baby to properly bond. Important hormones like oxytocin are released by both the mother and baby during the birth and in the hour post-delivery. When contact is delayed, these hormones that induce states of dependency and attachment miss their window to develop the naturally enhanced mother and baby bond. For this reason, many mothers report a struggle to connect with their newborns after having a C-section. Now, I've never had a C-section, but having your skin, your abdominal muscle cut open, your uterus cut open, and they got to pull out the baby. And I have watched C-sections. A lot of my students, because one of the classes I teach is clinical rotation, so the kids get to go to the hospital. And we do have a rotation through labor and delivery. And they literally will pull out the entire uterus to stitch it up. And they have to double stitch it and make sure there aren't any perforations when they stitch it up really well. So you can see how the mother, now granted, she's not feeling any pain per se, but you can see how the mother might take some time to recover. I mean, I think officially they're not supposed to lift anything heavy for 6 weeks and they're not supposed to drive for a certain amount of time because it is major surgery. We don't consider it major surgery because it's, you know, 1 in 3 babies now are born C-section, but cutting through the body to get into the uterus is a major surgery. And so you can understand why mothers might be a little distracted, even though they have very good intentions to want to bond with their child. They're kind of distracted with the whole serious major surgery that they've just gone through. And of course, this could throw off the natural adaptive hormones that would be released when the baby is born and the mother wants to care for him. So yet another issue that we should consider. All right, the 12th reason, higher risk for respiratory problems. This is a pretty common one too as well. The risk for breathing complications in newborns born by scheduled C-section is considerably higher than babies born vaginally. With scheduled C-sections, babies have a much greater chance of being born preterm, even if the gestational age is believed to be beyond 37 weeks, which is considered to be full term. When the labor is forced prior to a mother going into natural labor, there is a significant risk that the lungs are not yet fully developed, For this reason, certain types of respiratory complications can arise during and immediately following the delivery. The issues that can be quite serious and often require admission to the advanced care nursery. In fact, respiratory distress syndrome, commonly associated with C-sections, can lead to newborns being hospitalized for as many as 26 days. The March of Dimes has expressed serious concerns over a link between increasing number of planned C-sections and labor inductions and a rise in the number of preterm and low birth weight babies after being born in the U.S. It's easy to miscalculate a pregnancy by a week or so. In the case of these infants, a single week can make a difference between a late preterm baby and a term one. Now, if I remember correctly, I think it's surfactant, which is the chemical that's produced by the lungs to allow for the elasticity of the lungs to be able to do the gas exchange. And if I'm not mistaken, if I remember this correctly, it's and we're not just talking about C-section babies, but just to say babies are born early. So it's typically, that's one of the issues is the respiratory problem. And then also there's typically holes in the heart, like septal defects, which they need to patch up. Because I believe those are like the last two things that are formed in the last few weeks of gestation. All right, reason 13. Babies are highly likely to experience stress and shock. Some doctors say that babies born elective C-section, and specifically by induced labor, experience a significant amount of shock imprint. From their perspective, when a mother has not naturally entered labor, it is a sign that the baby is not yet prepared to exit the womb, right? It's like, whoa, where'd my house go? Where'd my house go? In other words, some babies are before they're ready, and apparently there's psychological implications. As a result, some C-section babies have a tendency to withdraw. Experts say that most parents and professionals alike are not able to distinguish between a quiet and easy baby versus a withdrawn, shock-ridden one. This might explain why a seemingly calm and placid baby suddenly turns inconsolable for long periods of time. Emergency C-sections have a different mechanism of stress, as usually the labor comes on naturally, but delivery does not progress as it should. Medical intervention becomes necessary, and high levels of stress and anxiety are usually present in the mother. So, again, the baby is ready to come when it's ready to come. And again, this is more of an issue with induced labor, not emergency labor, because in emergency labor, the water has broken, and the baby's preparing to go through the vag to get out. So it's not as much of a problem there. This is more when the baby's not due for like 2 weeks, but you want to induce it. And so they give the chemicals to induce, and the baby's like, whoa, what's going on? And it gets stressed out. So these are some possible issues that may arise from that. All right, reason 14. This is pretty rare, but a risk of scalpel injury to the infant. So we got to cut through the uterus. And sometimes the head is positioned near the incision point, and typically doctors don't use a type of ultrasound or some sort of x-ray to know where the baby is. And unfortunately, mistakes happen. There are many stories of babies left with lifelong disfiguring marks on their forehead, and sometimes the babies need emergency plastic surgery. There's even a case of a baby last year that died as a result of a severe accidental scalpel incision. Most parents are stunned and shocked, having never been informed that this was a possible risk. Unfortunately, the legal battle to gain monetary consolation is a tough one, as surgeons are usually protected against this type of accident-based lawsuit by waivers signed by parents who consent to the surgery. And of course, you know, lots of times, the mother or the father, they're not under like complete, they're not giving complete consent because they're under a lot of stress at the time of when they're giving consent. So like, yeah, just get the baby out. And they just sign away their soul, essentially, like Goethe did with Dr. Faust. And so you can have a major scar and then not really have much of a legal recourse. So it's very, very, very unfortunate because that's life-threatening. And if not, they're going to have a major scar. All right, and the last reason why you might not want to deliver your baby C-section, if you can help it, is low Agapar scores. If you've given birth before, you know how much of a big deal the Agapar test is. This is the very first test given a newborn that determines if the baby is in need of any medical assistance. The score is a quick assessment of the baby at 1 minute and 5 minutes post-delivery. The test gives a rank of the baby's appearance, pulse, responsiveness, muscle activity, and breathing. Each aspect of the test is worth 2 points, and the points are added up for an overall value. The higher the Agapar score is, the better the condition of the newborn. Babies with scores of 3 or less need life-saving measures. Babies with scores from 4 to 6 may need some sort of respiratory assistance. Unfortunately, babies born via C-section are not exposed to the same sort of stimuli as they are in the vaginal birth, because they got to crawl out, literally. In addition, that they may be under distress from a complicated delivery. This means that babies born at C-section are much more likely to show low AGPAR scores and are in need of some sort of medical intervention. Yeah, we jazzed it up today. Gonna let that jazzy bass. So guys, look, my closing thought is this. I'm not a woman. I don't know what it's like to birth. This is a great cameo appearance from Kate, if Kate could come in and give her 2 cents on this. And maybe on our next Q&A. And I know, guys, we haven't had a Q&A in some time. I'll ask her about this, what she thinks about this. Again, I'm not shaming any of you mothers who've given birth C-section. I think most of you mothers who have given birth C-section, it was not by choice. It was not by choice. And so I think, like with so many things, like going, not to go back to lady issues, but like with the pill, I mean, how many women would be on hormonal contraceptives if they knew it was a class one carcinogen, meaning it's going to give you cancer, or increases your chances of getting cancer? A lot of it, and same for prescription drugs, like how many people would be on certain prescription drugs if they knew that it had all these horrible side effects? So I think a lot of women who've given birth C-section were either pressured or they just didn't know any better. They didn't think it was that big of a deal. And I think in retrospect, if they could have done it the normal way, they would have. Because guys, that's the way we're meant to be born. There's a reason why the baby's got to struggle through the vagina to come out. And we've talked about a lot of the reasons here. So if you can help it, guys, deliver vaginally, unless it's an absolute emergency, and even ask the doctor or the midwife, is it absolutely necessary that I have this C-section? As I mentioned, sometimes doctors will pressure patients into doing it because of monetary reasons, or maybe they just want to leave, or they're just frustrated or whatnot. But again, this is your baby. They're not going to remember your name in, you know, a day or whatever it is. You might not even see these doctors again, but you have to live with the long-term consequences of this action. Also know that a lot of doctors won't allow you to birth vaginally if you've given birth C-section or because they believe that the lining of the uterus has been compromised. And so if you've given birth, let's say your first baby was C-section, there's a certain amount of doctors that be like, no, every birth that you're going to do next after this is C-section. Now, what are their motives? Perhaps they are altruistic, but maybe they're not. It's hard to say. So finding a VBAC doctor or vaginal birth after cesarean, you might have to do some research and look around, because some doctors don't want to touch that. They're going to want you to do C-section the entire time. So guys, no shame here. This is great for future mothers. Just be aware, knowledge is power. So guys, if you have time, please post a review for MP Radio, Confessions of an Obese Child, or Kate's Apothecary. Go to Naturopathic Earth website, check out our articles. I've written some interesting ones, like, for example, does intermittent fasting lead to eating disorders? It's an interesting article, and some other ones, so check them out. Until next time, guys, take care and God bless. Bye-bye.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.